Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon. Keith Overt here, broadcasting from DeVille Square, Pensacola Business Radio. And I have in our studio now episode 3 of Women in Leadership. So I have, I'm just going to call it the Studio Group Posse. You're the posse today. So I have Autumn Morris, Carrie King, and Penelope Elabash. So good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So let's just start with you, Autumn. Tell me your position in the posse.
My position in the posse. Well, good morning. Good afternoon. My name is Autumn Morris. I am the Partner Relations Coordinator Leader at Studio Group, and I'm delighted for the opportunity to join you this morning.
Well, thank you.
Good morning. I am Carrie King, and I serve currently as the Director of Operations, so work with a variety of different areas in our operations side of the business that supports our consulting side of the business.
Great. I'm Penelope Elabash. I lead our Next Level Partnership team, so I work with our partners and our clients in the field on what's next for them. So they work with Studio Group for a period of time, a few years, and then they decide how far did we come and what do we want to do next? And so I'm responsible for working in the field and then connecting folks back with our team here.
Very cool. Okay. So let's just be real candid here. You're in a leadership group. I mean, that's what they teach. That's what they do. That's what they help everybody else do. So I want to know, what does it mean for y'all to be not only women in leadership roles, but in this leadership group? Because you just get saturated with it, don't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Does it translate all the time?
I think it does. I would say what it means to me is it's a lot of responsibility. So I think you have to take it seriously and think through that, because you are a role model for so many. Also especially being women in business and kind of role modeling that ability to manage being a mom, being a woman, and being successful. I also would just say it's awesome.
Yeah.
We are work with a lot of incredible women, men too, that are leaders in the organization, but we have a great group, and it's just kind of awesome to be together every day, lean on each other, call each other when you're going through something and thinking, I don't really know what to do with this, or what would you do if my initial reaction is my gut right? Or do you think I'm looking at it from a different perspective?
So,
yeah. And the beauty about, we do have to do what we teach every day. So we're in the field telling these healthcare organizations to do this. And so we do what we call eat our own cooking and making sure that we're role modeling those things. And it's such a great place to work. There's no utopia, and you got to work at that all the time. So it is. I agree with Carrie. It is awesome. Challenging, but awesome.
Yeah. So do y'all have sort of exercises within the group that kind of keep everything in check that way?
Absolutely. I would say we have checks and balances of making sure we are eating our own cooking with things that we do in the field. Examples are our leader evaluation manager. It's a tool we implement across our organizations that helps align goals, gives everybody metrics that they're aiming for. We right now are in the process of making sure we're following our own rule book and that we're doing everything that we teach everybody. And I have to say, we don't get it perfect, and we're working at that, and we're identifying things right now that we did well last year and we kind of let slip this year. So we're having to go back to the playbook and kind of start over with it.
Yeah.
And I would add, many of us before joining Studio Group were not leaders in previous organizations. So that's one true
That's a testament in itself.
Absolutely. That's one of our real core values, is to grow leaders within the organization. So through different trainings and developments that we have offered, there's multiple different ways that we can continue to build up that skill set and ensure that we are eating our own cooking and being the best leaders that we can be, not only internally, but taking those skill sets externally within the community and within our personal lives as well.
Because
it does bleed within your personal life.
That was going to be one of my next questions, is how much of this, like, do the kids get the full on, like, be the,
yes,
be the, when you do this, it makes me feel, that kind of stuff.
The crucial conversation.
Yeah.
Yes. I think, and the expectation of, this is what's expected of you, laying it out for, I have 1 5-year-old. And so laying it out for him, this is what I expect of you to do every day, and hear the things that occur in return. And if you don't meet those expectations, hear the consequences of it.
So as he turned around and said, but this is not your work, Mom.
he does every now and then say stuff about work, or but not yet. He's not. I don't think he's quite old enough to quite grasp that yet. My husband says that.
Exactly. I follow Carrie's lead on parenting a lot, because mine are 3 and 1,
And so I had this, definitely have your hands full.
Right. But had this moment recently where I'm going, I'm not just a mom, I'm a parent. And that's very different because I lean on Carrie a lot just because him being a few years older than my daughter, I've seen those things and she set some really good precedents. I'm thinking, how did you do that? Remind me again, because it's personality you're handling and not just you're not just watching a baby. They're pushing back and challenging you too.
That's a really good point.
How about you, Autumn?
No children. So, but the husband is definitely fully aware of Studer Group and all of the tactics that I've learned in terms of setting. And I think most of it is communication. So, and if you think leadership or what do you bring into your personal life or professionally that's going to make that difference, a lot of it just boils down to clear communication and effective communication.
So, okay. So aside from communication, what do you, I want to know, because I have a feeling you all have this sort of, not standard, but just a pretty dissectable thought process approach to just about any situation that you come across, right? Work, home, Walmart, driving in traffic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what is that for y'all? Oh, you can hear the crickets chirp.
Our dissectable. that's a hard one.
I think for us, I'll speak for me. It's, we talk about a lot in Studer Group and what we teach, and as organizations are going through change and things are changing, to diagnose before you treat. So I would say I apply that in my day-to-day life from the point of my son and he's acting out versus jumping on him immediately, which I can't say that doesn't happen sometimes, and that reaction of doing something or my husband says something that angers me, to think back and think, why are they acting that way? What may be influencing or what happened at school that day that upset him and kind of put him on that page of a bad mood? And he doesn't, he's reacting to that. So I try to do that. I can't say I'm good or perfect at it by any means. And then my job entails a lot of coordinating different people, making sure all the list is checked off.
You're
that we're going
plates,
through. Yes. So I do that in my life. I live by lists. I have lists all over my phone. So that's what drives me at work and at home.
We talk a lot about kind of doing the 20% of the activities that make up 80% of the results. And I just this morning was spinning plates around some things and said, are those really the most important things? And let me go look at really, what am I trying to accomplish? What are those, the biggest things that are going to make up the results for, the month coming up on an end, the quarter end, we're always chasing a number and an outcome. And so you have to prioritize.
That's it.
And I feel like to add on to what Carrie and Penelope just shared, definitely diagnosing before treating, but also just simplifying the situation and really fully understanding before you are treating is a perfect example of that. And not over analyzing things and just looking at it as it is and as it stands.
So in change management, which is what I think a lot of this kind of gets classified as sometimes, but these are no small projects. These are huge companies usually, or even smaller companies, but lots of moving parts and lots of working people. How do you, and what do you think is your way of building that relationship to get people to do the things that need to be done? Because I know I hate being told what to do.
Yeah, this one, we have to do. Yeah, I know. Everybody does to some degree. We, and I bet these, my friends would echo, but we always talk about starting with the why. And if you don't tell someone why you're doing something, what's in it for them, and we have to use that in our healthcare world a lot. And we also have to use that in our internal world a lot. So I give you an example, had the fortune of being out in Seattle and one of our hospital partners and, hourly rounding is a tactic that we teach and it saves lives of patients.
Sure.
When the nurses do this certain practice at this certain frequency, patients fall less, they get fewer pressure ulcers, nurses walk fewer miles a day. There's all kinds of outcomes with that.
Yeah.
But a key behavior that the nurse has to do in the room is sign the log to say they were in the room.
Right.
So when you get down into these units, when you walk up to a nurse and you say, why are you signing the log? What do you think she might say? Because my boss told me to or something like that. And really, when we can put the story behind that and say, this is someone's mother and the lady works full time. Her mother's in the hospital bed all day. Do you know when she goes in the room, what she sees is your initials every hour that you were in the room when she had to be at work all day.
Right.
She feels really good about her safety for her mom. So that's actually your commitment to the patient.
Yeah.
That's really different than I just have to sign a log. And I think, you know, that's in the walls of the hospital example, but I think we have to challenge ourselves to do that all the time as leaders. And sometimes you have to say, I don't know, when you're a leader. And it's okay to say, hey, I learned something new today. I'm going to be better tomorrow. And being transparent about that with my team is something I always try to do. I might be better today than I was yesterday. And I think it's okay to admit defeat because we don't know all the answers.
Oh, thank God.
Right. No, we don't.
We don't.
No, right?
I don't want to.
Who does? The why is key. I think the other thing you touched on briefly that's so key is building those relationships ahead of time. So it's being willing. I would say in Studer Group, there's no levels. It doesn't matter who you are in the organization. None of us are above doing anything. And so if you're in a meeting, there's a task to be done, you take it and you do it. And that builds confidence. If people have confidence in you, they have trust in you, and they respect you because you're going to do what it takes to get the job done. And in the end, that's what matters. So you build that trust, and then you recognize those that have done things well. And that gives you an emotional bank account to pull on, because sometimes you do have to, as a leader. I had to do it this morning, call someone and say, look, I missed this, and now it's going to cause an hour of rework for you. And I know it's causing that hour of rework for you, and I'm extremely sorry. I admit I missed it, but we've got to get it right, so we've got to fix it. But I have an emotional bank account with her. So, you know, I'm sure she didn't like her hour of rework, but she did it without, communicate, you know,
about
too much.
I walked into work one morning early, which is really rare for me to be able to get the kids out the door and get there before 8 o'clock, truth be told.
It gets better.
It does. It gets better.
The older they get, it gets better.
Agree. Right? I mean, they're so happy, but it's just hard to get out the door. I walked into our kitchen in our office, and, you know, Debbie Ritchie is unloading the dishwasher at 7:20 when she happened to be the first one there that day. And that's just what you do. And I, you know, Debbie's our president. I think that's I remember I'm walking in and I'm, you know, have a great relationship with Debbie, I didn't even say anything to her, but I just remember thinking, this is cool. This is what you want to happen. Mm-hmm. And this is how this stuff gets cascaded. You role model it and you're inspired by others doing that. I mean, we are all personally inspired by her and others every day we work with.
And no matter what organization that you work in, anybody just wants to know that their leader cares about them as a person. And
isn't afraid to get their hands dirty.
Yes. Exactly. Keith, ask Autumn how many direct reports she has.
Autumn, how many direct reports do you have?
How many did I have or do I have today?
Did you have?
I have a wonderful leader.
How big's your team?
The team is 41 strong.
Wow.
So at one time I did have 41 direct reports. But I have to tell you, building those relationships, those foundational relationships, is key. That's something that I learned through many of the mentors of leaders that I've had within the organization. And again, no one here is sitting here a perfect person or a perfect leader. But that is, if we are trying to ensure that our culture remains the culture that we have been in the past as we grow as an organization, those relationships are key.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, one of the things that used to drive me nuts in my culinary piece was when you'd have to make the schedule with numbers so that it would make the mathematical correct equation.
Mm-hmm.
It was so hard to do that. Because I'm like, well, number 7's really frank, and that's just not going to work, you know, and it was very hard to do that. The other thing that I always did, and you kind of touched on it, was when food wasn't right, I'd always ask them if that's what they'd serve their mom.
Mm, yes.
Second you dropped that question, was like, oh, okay, it's a reality now.
Yeah.
And it was in the healthcare setting, so that worked really well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, you have to think about that.
Yeah, because mom's just not going to eat bad cooking.
Nope.
At all.
No.
So, and then you said something else too. When somebody asked me what my definition of leadership was, my first answer was the ability to say, I don't know.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we should write a book.
Yep. There you go. Let's do it.
We should write a book. So, okay. So what's coming up in, you guys have a lot going on, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So share.
From the business side, it's, you know, we're going strong. We continue to grow each year. We continue to expand our jobs here and locally in the community, which is awesome because we are pulling Autumn's team as one of the kind of first level points of entry into the organization.
So you're going to get some more direct reports?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're looking to grow.
Absolutely. But we have great relationships with the two local colleges. So it's been we've had some phenomenal talent come through for those. So that's exciting, I think, from a community standpoint, because we're supporting and helping to grow the community as we grow as an organization.
Yeah.
Personally, I would say we all have, you could go around the table, we can all tell you different things, but certainly we're all involved in the community in different ways. Studio Group is an organization that's always encouraged that. From Quint to Debbie, it's role modeled and it's encouraged for every employee to do 4 hours of community service a month at least. So all of us have had opportunities to get involved with organizations that mean a lot to us in different ways. And so those things are always coming and going, and you know, there's events every year.
You know what happens? You sign up for 4 and you know darn well it's really going to be like 20.
Always. Yep. Always.
So, okay. Well, are there any events or anything coming up that we need to let people know about?
We're working. Some of us and a number of us were members of Impact 100. My first year was last year, and that membership drive's going on right now, and I plan on joining again. It was a really neat experience to work with women, to be part of that. It really did
and
feel...
Wasn't it the largest in the nation
last year? It's the largest in the world now. Last year, as of last year, it was in the world.
That's awesome.
It's really...
In our little old town.
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
Felt really good to be a part of and just to... I mean, and even to... They did a call, actually. They called and said, you know, how was your first year membership? And asked a series of questions. So you talk about, you know, walking the talk. Yeah. That was great. What could we have done better? What did you enjoy about it? What should we keep doing? And it was neat to be part of that. I did a little bit of a committee, which I enjoyed around the education work. And it was just a good experience. And I'm looking forward to doing it again. I think kind of what you put in, you get back out, not unlike other things. So I'd like to be able to do even more because you feel really invested in these organizations and you want to see them through to success. I know Carrie's been on a board that's received a grant and, you know, has done membership. So you might have things to add.
Yeah, I would say from both sides, the board of Impact 100 is incredible. And they commit a lot of their time and their energies, standing on both sides of it, presenting for a request to get a grant was a huge experience. But they stood beside you the whole way, held your hand, walked you through everything, made you feel very comfortable as an organization that was submitting an application, which was great.
Yeah.
So, and so they're doing their membership drives right now. There's a couple of different events going on. You can see them all around town in different places.
Well, and I think the other thing with that organization too, is that it's not just an organization, you know, all the faces and all the names. So it's really like just a whole bunch of cool people getting together and doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. The other thing that I have going on is I sit on the board of Covenant, and their Art of Fashion lunch is coming up in March 16th.
Yeah.
So that's,
and they just went through rebranding too, didn't they?
They did, which was awesome. So I got to be a part of that, and it is just incredible how they've looked at what they do and who they impact and the need for so many more services at that point, not just your end of life, your very end of life, but those months and years that lead up to that. There's so much that's lost between just, I'll call it regular health care and that end of life care that in between was missing so much. And now we can provide all those services locally.
Right. And not even just for the patient, but the family.
The caregivers. The that's one of the biggest things, because they burn out, and that's tough. And it's actually a lot of women that take care of Alzheimer's patients is one of the services they offer to help with caregivers with Alzheimer's patients. So it's a pretty incredible organization, but the rebranding was awesome. I thought one of the best parts of it was they gave cars to all their caregivers that drive thousands of miles every day because they deliver services in home. So they were driving their own cars, and you get reimbursed and all of that, but you're still putting the miles and the wear and tear on your car. But now all these caregivers have these great new Kias. They're awesome, cool looking cars. And so it was kind of fun to see all of them. And one of the workers said they had never had a new car before. So it was really cool to just see their faces light up as they got in those cars and saw them.
Very cool.
And I'll add, just in regards to the community piece, one of the other awesome things about working with Studio Group is the ability to have exposure to multiple different beyond Covenant and Impact. Most importantly, Capstone Academy and Gulf Coast Kids House are a couple that are most dear to my heart, just because of some individuals that I know that work there and just know how much time and effort that they put into those great organizations to make a difference in our communities. So even if you're not even participating on a board, every year you have the opportunity to sporadically help with multiple different organizations. And I think that's just cool to be able to see that exposure.
Yeah. Anytime anybody has a passion or a cause they're passionate about, they can nominate to do a casual day. So you can wear jeans on a Friday and everybody donates $5 and it goes to that cause. And we have a ton of those throughout the year. And so it feels great to wear jeans on a Friday, but it feels great to learn about.
Look forward to that.
Yeah. Learn about a new organization.
Sweet, I don't have to dress up today.
Yeah. It's a bigger impact within the community.
Absolutely.
And I've learned more about organizations that way because someone will be very passionate about a cause and present about it. And you're going, yes, of course I'll wear jeans and I'll give more than $5. That's great to hear. So
I, with Gulf Coast Kids House, I knew a little bit of what they did, but I got invited to their lunch. Was it this year or last year?
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. First of all,
wow. It was moving.
Absolutely. Yes. There wasn't a dry eye in the house by the time we were done. So, and we were just starting here. And this, I say this because this is how easy it really is to figure out a way to help. So, you know, of course, they've got all the big sponsors that have no problem giving that money that they have, which is awesome. But then they ask you, you know, do you have whatever to give? Well, I was starting a new business. I was broke. I was there for a free lunch.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't mean that in a rude way, but I was like, yeah, you're going to feed me? I'll absolutely have to, you know, listen to what you have to say. So they had on their form, do you have an idea? Check the box. And then, so I checked the box because I had a couple ideas. So Stacy called me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've done a whole bunch of shows for them. And then we're helping them with the Chocolate Fest and all that. And of course, being an old chef and stuff, so now I'm getting sucked into bacon, Stacey, it does not work. I'm telling you right now. But it was people who were engaged and mm-hmm. who really had a way of translating what the need was in the county, let alone, you know, the actual stories of it. But then they gave you an opportunity to give without having to give money, which I just thought was absolutely awesome. So there's my testimony.
No, that's a great point. You're absolutely right. There's needs lists. There's all kinds of ways you can volunteer time, talent. There's a lot. That's great. We used to work with Stacy, so she's a student.
Yeah, she's a fellow leaper too. So
she's awesome.
Okay, so let's talk about engagement because I think you all you have to be an engaged leader, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do I become an engaged leader if I'm not already?
That's within every individual.
I mean, you have to believe.
You can't look for someone to, you know, people talk about sometimes a studio group does such, they do inspiring talks and they do inspiring work. And that's true. And things can spark that. But everybody, individual owns, you know, you own your own development and where you want to go. And I think sometimes things can be the catalyst for that. But I mean, we're really not an inspirational speaking kind of company. It's execution. It's doing the right thing. It's figuring out what drives you.
And I think you become an engaged leader when you truly are invested in the company and the organization and the mission that you're driving towards. So if you wake up each and every day, so there's a difference between satisfaction mm-hmm. and engagement. So understanding, you know, this day, did I like the day that I had today? Or, you know, did someone call and I had a bad call? Well, maybe you might not be as satisfied one day, but when you wake up in the morning and you're giving that 110%, if you're really, truly engaged in the work that you're doing, everybody's going to have an off day. Mm-hmm. But it's all about thinking about that mission and driving what is your purpose in the world. And I feel that, as Penelope shared, you have to be engaged as a leader to role model what you expect to see in others.
Well, and I think you said it too. You can be inspired all day long, but you're not going to be inspired unless it's already there mm-hmm. to be inspired.
Yeah. And you have to do it. You know, like I'm inspired by people who run marathons. I don't run. You know, so you have to think about there are things that inspire you and there are things that you're motivated by and, you know, there, things you admire, I guess.
You have to be engaged enough to wake up every day and execute on the things that you've identified. So as a leader, I think it's, you know, waking up and realizing we all have those days where you kind of roll out of bed and you're like, I just would like to roll back into bed for the day. You know, I mean, we're all human. We have those days, but then you have to think about, I have an entire team at the office waiting on me. I have to role model. I have to believe in this day and what we have to execute and get done, because for us, that fulfills our mission, which means patients are getting better care across the nation. And that's huge. And so you have to fulfill that every day. And on those bad days, kind of remind yourself what you're there for, which for us is our mission.
Yeah.
And you see the results of that as a leader or as an employee or anywhere. Mm-hmm. You see the results of that and you go, oh, that felt good. I'm going to do that again.
Yeah.
Yes. And I would say to anybody who's in any kind of business or not anywhere, you know, recognition is what gets recognized gets repeated. That's just how it works.
And like what gets measured gets done.
Right. And
someone's been teaching it. Right.
But you know, recognition.
I've been around the block once or twice.
Recognition's huge. I did a supervisory session this morning with one of my team members, and she went on and on about a colleague. And I mean, I pull up the email and I write a note immediately to that person and say, this is what this person just said. Not just attaboy. Specifically, here's what you did.
Yeah.
Here's why it made a difference. And I hope you keep doing it, you know? And so I think that telling people they do a good job and making sure that they know why helps drive them too.
Yeah.
And as a leader, that sets the culture of the organization. And so you have to do those actions, and eventually that culture comes back around to you, and you'll get rewarded and recognized for the things that you're doing great, which re-inspires you. But sometimes a leader, you have to do it without someone sending you that email to inspire you to do it. You have to find that inspiration within, like you said, Penelope, because you have to set the culture of the organization and the example.
Well, and I always like when your coworkers will send it to the leader.
Yes.
Yes.
And then ask them to send it, you know, to the entire department kind of thing, which is always fun.
Yeah. I was flying home last night from a meeting in Denver, and I saw an email from one of our busiest and most passionate coach leaders that we work with in the field. So I know she finished a really long day at a really big health system, and she probably has 100 things to do. This email is to the executive sponsor of the health system of the work, and it is about the project coordinator who planned her 3 days that she had spent in the health system. It was incredible because she went on and on about the specific things she had done, how you know, attentive she was to detail, how they kind of got some choppy waters a few times and how she navigated that. It was a really specific note to that person's boss about what they did. And I thought, another moment of like, gosh, I'm lucky to work with her every day. Because if she's, I know she has 1,000 things to do.
Yeah.
And that's the first email she's sending from the plane, probably thinking about where she's going to be next.
Yeah.
So I just don't underestimate
the fish.
Right.
So, okay. So I want to, let's talk about some mentors or people that have influenced your life in any way, shape, or form. Jump in.
We probably all three would say Debbie Ritchie. We all report to Debbie and work closely with her every day. And certainly she's a role model when it comes to business and her leadership in business, but also her leadership in the community and her commitment. And Autumn mentioned it earlier, just caring about the people that work for the organization, not just the ones she touches every day, but the entire organization.
Yeah.
For me personally, I would also say my mom. You know, she taught me to, she stayed at home. She was a stay at home mom, but her goal every day was to be nice to everybody. She's never met a stranger. She was committed to the community, and she still to this day would give, you know, the shirt off her back to a stranger and does. And so she is very inspirational to me in that way.
So I'd like the record to state that's the best mom shout out we have had on this on the air.
Too bad. Autumn and I love our moms too. So much.
Well, I would definitely, absolutely, Debbie Ritchie is one of those. I kind of, when I think about an analogy, I think of, we kind of been simmering in the crock pot of amazing mentors.
It's a great analogy.
It really is.
Picking one or two is very difficult. And I think each of our roles have kind of played us into working more closely with different individuals within the organization. So not to downplay one over the other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, I would personally mention Don Dean, who is a coach leader that I worked very closely with. And again, the why behind that being an amazing mentor is that he taught me some really good ropes of being a good leader, and it all based upon that relationship building. And I saw that in action pretty quickly in the community. I would have to add, so not someone that's at Studer Group, but Rishi Studer is an amazing mentor just because of her work ethic and what she's brought to this community.
Yeah.
And she is another one of those individuals that is just, it doesn't matter what day that you see her or meet her, she has got a
smile
always on
smiling.
Her face.
Always.
And she is the kindest
and working hard. Yes. She's got, she is down. She's down in the weeds.
Absolutely.
I mean, she's doing,
she'll get down and
doing the dirty work.
That's a lot to say too about, you know, you think about small businesses, like in those areas, you go shop somewhere on a Saturday and the owner of the store is in there, you know, working. It's nice. Mm-hmm. No, I echo what you guys said about the mentorship. I mean, we do. That crock pot is a good
analogy. That was really good. Cause as you said that, I'm thinking of all the different people that have touched over the years that have been influential. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And I think the biggest thing that Quint always talks about when it comes from to mentors that people are have a misconception about is that it doesn't have to be your leader. Your mentor is not necessarily your leader. Yeah. And sometimes it's better to have a mentor that's outside of your direct leadership.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. They can be more truthful with you. They can kind of see things from an outsider perspective.
Yep, that's that 30,000 foot
yes,
view.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that's a misconception of new employees coming into our organization or, you know, people that are kind of going into their first job,
yeah.
real job.
Mm-hmm. You know, excuse me, one of the other things, and there was a lady in here yesterday I was meeting with who does some life coaching, mentoring stuff. And I think she said one of the most brilliant things I've heard when talking about that was, if you want somebody to tell you what to do, you want a drill instructor.
Yes.
If you want a handler or a personal assistant who's just keeping you in line. If you want a mentor or a life coach, you want somebody who's going to ask you what the right answer is for you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that is just a really good, because I'd never really kind of seen it that in that light, but that's it. My answers are not your answers, and they have to be your answers.
And as a mentee, you have to work harder than the mentor.
Yeah.
You have to come to that meeting with the so things true. That are facing you and that you're struggling with, not just come and say, hey, how's it going? Or, you know, what do you think?
Let me have my weekly check.
Where do you think I should go next? Yeah. What's my next career move? Well, I mean, you can't, that's not fair to ask of somebody. That is a decision for you to make and have a conversation with them about.
And it's all perspective too. There's formal mentoring and there's informal mentoring.
Yeah.
So it's you taking advantage of any opportunity that comes your way. If you're sitting in a conference room, take that opportunity to network with someone that might be have a skill set that you're looking to get better at, and that is actually informal mentoring. So it's all how you think about things in your life.
So buddies having a beer at the bar, that counts too, right?
Sure. Cheap. Always.
Yeah, okay. Right. Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah. Wine, beer, whichever you
whatever. Yeah. Cheese if you need it. I want to know some of the difficult questions that you all have to ask when you're trying to really get to the root of some issues. And I know that was a good one. Yes.
Yeah, that is totally a difficult question.
That in and of itself.
I know you have one or two go-to questions that are usually like out of the gate, right?
Yeah, I guess. I'm trying to think. Go ahead.
Well, this is more on the after trying to solve something. We use a lot of who needs to know. So we'll have a meeting and let's say me, Autumn, and Carrie have a meeting and we have the whiteboard. We got the best plan in the world. If we leave that room and we don't say who else needs to know, we miss an opportunity to communicate across to the organization and make sure there's other stakeholders involved. And we're going through a fair amount of change right now and we're learning more and more. You know, I'll be a few meetings in and think, oh gosh, really Carrie should be at this table. So it's not too late to get you involved.
Right.
So who else needs to know is one
I like.
That's
a good one. I think when someone comes to you with maybe a problem or an issue, it's as a leader, making them feel comfortable, to come to you when something has gone wrong, because it's better to come to you and for you to know and to help problem solve on the front end than to find out accidentally later when maybe it's become a bigger mess.
Yeah.
But I think always when those instances happen, I try to turn it back on them and just say, you know, do you think you took the right action? Or if you could take 5 steps back, would you take a different 5 steps forward? So
well, of course I would. That's why I'm sitting here in front of you.
Well,
right?
But I mean, to have them reflect and think about that versus me telling them the answer. It's that same mentor-mentee conversation. They're not going to learn if I sit across the table from them and say, well, you should have done X, Y, and Z.
Right.
They're going to hear it and it's going to go in one ear and out the other and know they did something wrong. They wouldn't have learned. So I think it's trying to figure out how you can teach as long as, as well as fix.
Yeah. And what color they fit in.
Yeah.
And I would say listening. So sometimes it's just understanding and differentiating between what is a venting session. So you might have
I love that you do that. You always do that. Yeah. And I love that.
And the first
therapy
question
or is this
I ask is,
yeah.
Or is this a problem we're solving or do you just need 5 minutes to vent? And a lot of times it's just the venting. And then so you can clearly just sit back and just and nod and listen. And a lot of times that's all that someone needs.
Well, and a lot of times they'll answer their own questions too.
Absolutely.
That has happened with me many times.
Yeah. That would be me.
And so when I go into Carrie's office, I say, okay, this is a 5-minute venting session. So,
and it keeps you, I don't go into problem solving mode.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Let's just talk.
Right.
You know, you listen, as you said as well, but.
So I think one of the things of that has come across here a lot with the entrepreneurs and the businesses that we've spoken with is the question that's always one of the hardest to define is, what are you trying to achieve and why? Right. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times people have that in their mind. They know what they're doing. They know where they're going, what they're doing it for. But when you really ask them, they're like, well, maybe I don't, mm-hmm. you know? So that's my go-to question.
Yeah, I like it.
Now, Tony can go in the book.
Let's do it.
So, all right. Well, speaking of books, Autumn, what are you reading right now?
I am reading. So we just recently, in one of our suitor group conferences as a company, we came together a couple of weeks ago and received a new copy of Going from Difficult to Doable. And so it's talking all about those difficult conversations and how to shift the mindset of it being a difficult conversation to a doable conversation, which is a great avenue in terms of leadership that uh-huh. we're constantly looking to enhance as our communication skills.
I still love the when you, it makes me.
When you, I feel I need.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's another mentor. Beth Keen would be there. Yes. She coached us
absolutely.
A lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great at those difficult conversations. I am currently reading Grateful Diaries is kind of the more business book, I guess, that I'm reading right now. And it's a woman's true story kind of diary. It's a diary of hers walking through a year of her life where she made a point every day to determine three things she was grateful for. And it's funny because she breaks it up into marriage, kids, work, and so the different kind of aspects of your life that you go through. And it's just, it's starting each day positive and realizing you can let that one thing go off the wire, you know,
yeah.
walking into the bathroom and the clothes being beside the hamper, not in the hamper. You know, you can have that ruin the rest of your day if you choose for it to, yeah. but you can choose for it not to, and then be grateful for the small things. And then the fiction book I'm reading is Opening Bell. I haven't started it. I just got it. Came from Amazon Prime yesterday.
So do y'all walk in like once a month and there's a new book on the desk? Does that happen a lot?
Probably not
quarter.
Probably
once a quarter. We get recommendations.
Required reading. Required recommendations.
Big publishing.
Required recommendations. Yeah. And some come from ours, some not. The Grateful Diaries came from our CEO. It's not from our publishing company. It's one he read and he loved. And so he sent a copy to everybody in the company.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's great.
I do a lot like Carrie. I'm reading the same book. Gratitude Diaries.
We read them together.
You're using your Cliff Notes.
I'm not. I got to actually. So with the travel I've been getting to do the last few weeks, I've actually read a lot more because I'm having a hard time. Yeah, I'm having a hard time with keeping my reading where I used to with them. Like yeah. When my head hits the pillow, I'm out. Mm-hmm.
I'm the same. Like I'll plan to read for a good 10, but 5 minutes into it, and it's like, okay, it's bed.
Yeah.
And then you realize you've got to reread the page because you don't even know what you just read.
It's the complete just knockout drug for you.
Yeah. And I try to get articles. Actually, so I read The Skim every day, which is the kind of, you know, blurb news. It's mm-hmm. a little bit funny, a little bit, you know, tongue in cheek about what's going on. And so it's a daily email summarizing world events and other things. And so that's kind of that's something I look forward to. I read it every morning. Mm-hmm. Actually, before I get out of bed, I just skim through it. And
it is a skim. It's so quick and easy to read. And then I'd say we are all pretty good within the organization and just in our separate friendship groups, reading articles, whether it's about women, whether it's about parenting, and sharing those ones that are very truthful and are mindful of those moments of none of us are perfect. We all mess up as mothers. We all mess up as leaders. And it's okay because you have that guilt. You know, I mean, it comes with, I think, being a woman. It's part of it. But so it's just reminding each other we're there.
Have you all ever heard of Notes from the Universe?
No.
Okay, so I'll have to show you when we're done here. So it's a web thing site. It's like one page, but you put in your name, your date of birth, and then you put in some of the like three major goals that you want to accomplish in your life. And then every day it sends you a note from the universe.
Cool.
I'll pull one up for you.
And is it like you're trending behind? Get your ass.
No, it's actually it's very inspirational.
That would not be inspirational,
right?
And the weirdest thing is, sometimes it's spot on to what's going on in your day, like way more than a horoscope could ever be, and it just works out. So,
like, what was yours today?
I'm gonna pull it up because I actually haven't read it, so we can read it together. So here was mine from today. It says, sometimes, Dennis Keith, the person whose life looks the easiest has had it the hardest, but they're just really good at not dwelling on the past, keeping busy in the moment and rolling like that. I know you know what I mean. Proud like a farmer in the spring after it rains. the universe.
Wow.
And then
wow.
he does, and then cool. he does, wait, and then he does, P.S. They also never stopped expecting miracles, Dennis Keith, or using all of their angels, and they look amazing in black.
Wow. Yeah,
so like your little article you get every
yeah.
morning.
I like
so,
that.
This thing comes across at like 4 a.m. or something. So it's usually like one of the good. First thing I read. But you throw a couple things in there, and then all of a sudden you start getting this really cool mix of stuff. So you have to find
to
it.
Do
it.
That.
So
it's all yep. perspective.
It's this guy named Mike Dooley. It's a great program he's created.
Cool.
Thousands of people, like millions of people were on
a
it.
A lesson in life. Yeah. Right there.
It's kind of like you I'm have in. Your own just mm-hmm. dude hanging out in the universe.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
yeah. So, and then I've got two books I'm reading right. Well, I got like five really, but I'm reading Never Fry Bacon in the Nude.
Never heard that.
Sounds about, painful.
I wouldn't know.
As a chef, really?
Yeah. Well, smart chef.
Right.
See, smart chef.
True.
It's about high velocity leadership,
okay.
speed, getting things done quickly, accurately, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then Hacking the Entrepreneur, which is really cool, not for just entrepreneurs, but even just in the business, because it really... With the way that business is moving now and the new generation that's coming in and the way that the thinking has changed from sort of that old school style to this just people are ideas and every idea can be the next $1 million idea.
Yes.
To start paying attention to that and really educate for that and work towards that. So
really
that's
good.
One you should check out.
Yeah.
So,
and okay. true.
And true and very true.
Right. Yeah.
So did we miss anything? Is there anything else that you guys need to cover?
No, did we cover everything?
Well, I'm just making sure. I just want to make sure we didn't have any events or anything else that's going on that we need to let anybody know. No.
No.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, then I'm going to get us out of here because we're on time. So.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thanks
for
so much fun.
Thanks for coming. So you're definitely invited back, and you can bring the wine.
Awesome.
An event session.
Okay.
Okay. We can just start reading
we'll
them
do.
On air. That'd be kind of fun, right? Not so much. So, okay, you guys, you can find us at Pcola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us on the website at pensacola.businessradiox.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Pcola BRX. Ladies, again, thank you very much for coming in today.
This
thank has you. Been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.